Randall Goosby is with us. The San Diego-born violinist has become one of the most celebrated performers within the classical music scene in recent years. He began his studies at 7 years old, made his professional debut at 9, and by 13 he was on stage with the New York Philharmonic. He attended Juilliard, studied directly with the legendary violinist Itzhak Perlman and others. In 2020, he signed exclusively to Decca Classics at the age of 24. The next year, he released the album Roots, which was featured right here on the New Classical FM, putting a focus on Black composers and culture. That cemented his commitment to being an artist who makes a difference in the world of classical music, especially. His awards include first prize at the Young Concert Artist International Auditions, as well the inaugural Robey Artist and others. His touring schedule has taken him around the globe, playing the most iconic classical stages. The season's highlights include his debut with the Chicago Symphony, the National Arts Center Orchestra in Ottawa, the Montreal Symphony Orchestra, and the London Philharmonic Orchestra's tour of the U.S. He'll also appear with the Los Angeles Philharmonic, the Philadelphia Orchestra, and in Detroit with the symphony there. On Wednesday, April 23rd, Randall Goosby will perform alongside his often collaborator, pianist Xu Wang, at Kerner Hall, and the repertoire featuring Joseph Boulogne, Chevalier de Saint-Georges, Fauré, Chausson, and Schubert, an 8 p.m. start time. Tickets at rcmusic.com. Randall Goosby, welcome to the New Classical FM.
Thanks so much for having me, Mark.
Great to be with you. Where are you today?
Today, I'm in San Francisco preparing for the first recital of the tour. We're playing the same program here for the first time that we'll be playing in Toronto in a few weeks.
Wonderful. And it's nice to mix it up, right? When you have these big symphony dates, but also these duet dates, it must feel good to go back and forth.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I think as much as I can, I try to make symphonic and concerto performances feel like chamber music.
Right.
It's not always possible, not always easy, but certainly playing with Ju, a good friend of mine, and plenty of other collaborators that I enjoy working with. It's nice to, like you said, kind of change the pace, change the scene a little bit.
It is great. And I think it keeps it fresh for you. And, you know, we've had so much fun watching your career, especially over the last 4 or 5 years. When you put out Roots in 2021, we just love that record. It was exciting. And was that an intentional tone setter for you, or did you just chalk it up to another project? What was the thinking with Roots to start things off?
Yeah, it's a great question. I appreciate the love and support of the album. It's been great to see the response and the love that's sort of come out of it in the last couple of years. I wouldn't say that I intentionally sort of set any kind of tone with that record. That was very much a sort of, well, it was really a passion project for me in the midst of the pandemic and also in the massive surge in awareness and in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. I was just trying to find some way where I felt like I could make some kind of a meaningful impact. And the best way I know how to do that is through music. So that was ultimately the inspiration behind the album, was to just be a part of the change that I think we all started to see was really long overdue. But it certainly did set the tone, and I've been, you know, very grateful to have the opportunity time and time again to share music by composers that people might not necessarily be aware of, and again, to sort of just expand the wide net of storytelling that classical music really can cast.
Yeah, I love that idea. And it's something we've seen certainly in your career, but many careers lately, a lot of recordings, and we are starting to see those names more and more, which is fantastic. You've worked with Itzhak Perlman in the past. There's a lot of character in his playing. You can hear him in that violin. Maybe it's a world folk music nod or the scrappy take on classical repertoire. Melancholy in his film music. Is that how you approach your playing? Put a lot of personality into your performance? Is that important to you?
Oh my gosh, certainly. I think in a sense, if it's not a personal take on whatever it is that you're playing, then you might as well just refer the audience to a recording.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's a special opportunity to have the chance to connect with an audience in such a meaningful and again, personal way. And I think one of the greatest lessons that I learned from Mr. Perlman came in what I believe was my first ever lesson with him. This was probably 15 plus years ago.
Wow.
And I was playing a pretty, you know, technically challenging piece. I think it was a Vinyavsky concerto or something like that. And I had so many questions for him about, you know, how to make it a little easier, because he makes everything look so easy.
That's true.
And effortless. And so I had questions about his technique and how it is that he negotiated certain bow strokes and certain shifting movements in the left hand and what have you. And after I kind of rattled off so many questions, he kind of stopped me and said, "Hey, let me ask you a question first. What does this music make you feel?"
Mm.
And I had no answer. I wanted to say nervous because that's how I felt in the moment.
Yeah.
But in so many words, he said, well, listen, figure that out, think about it and come back. And then we can talk about your questions. Because at the end of the day, if you haven't made a sort of personal choice and decision about what it is that this music does to you, then how is it that you're going to figure out what you want that music to do to your audience?
Yeah.
You know, so it's that personal association and relationship with the music that I think makes the most meaningful experience, both for the audience and also for the performers as well.
That's a great story and certainly a teachable moment for any young musician or violinist. Tell us about your violin. I think it's a pretty special instrument, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, absolutely. I'm very, very fortunate to have a generous loan from the Samsung Foundation of Culture in Korea. I'm in my second year now with the 1708 Stradivarius. It's called the Strauss. It's not named after the musical Strauss family, actually. It's you know, some banking family who bought the instrument a couple hundred years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's a super sensitive, characterful, sometimes temperamental instrument, as is the case with so many of these pieces of history mm-hmm. that we get to play on. The 1708 Strad is sort of right in the middle of his golden period, which people believe is sort of when he kind of figured out whatever it was that made his best instruments the best. You hear every so often violinists kind of personifying their instruments. The same goes to say for other string players, but these instruments really do have their own unique personalities and voices, just as we humans do. And I think as it does between humans, it takes time for a player to get to know the instrument and vice versa. So I've had to sort of make some adjustments to my approach. And I would imagine the violin feels that it's had to make some adjustments based on the way that I tend to approach it and to play it. So it's taught me a lot. And it really makes all the difference in terms of creating as dynamic and varied palette of colors and sounds as one can possibly make, which we're going to need for this program at Kerner.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that idea of organic relationship between you and your violin. And if you're just joining us, violinist Randall Goosby is here on Wednesday, April 23rd. He will perform alongside Zhu Wang at Kerner Hall, the repertoire featuring Joseph Bellone, Chevalier de Saint-Georges, Fauré, Chausson, Schubert, 8 p.m. start time. Tickets at rcmusic.com. We should quickly talk about the 2023 record. Our Canadian superstar, Yannick Nézet-Séguin, with the Philadelphia Orchestra, and you recorded the Brooke Violin Concerto, the Florence Price as well. Does every violinist have to play that Brooke? I mean, is that just, you kind of have to put your mark on it, don't you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that any violinist with aspirations of any kind of a performing career in music, whether they want it or not, probably ends up taking on the Brooke Concerto. I had a very interesting relationship with the piece early on. It took me about a year really to get through the concerto. And it wasn't because I couldn't necessarily find my way around the technical challenges of it, but just getting inside what I talked about a little bit earlier, as far as creating as much variety in terms of the kinds of sounds and the kind of expression that are possible in that piece. I think that is one of the quintessential violin concerti for a reason. Not only is it technically challenging, but it also provides a lot of room for interpretation, I think, as far as some of these beautiful themes and rhythmic passages throughout the concerto. There's a little bit of everything in it. You've got the virtuosity, you've got the intimacy, the soulfulness, the sort of lush textures in the orchestra, which for me as the performer is always so much fun to almost feel like I'm inside of the sound of that piece. So that's certainly a rite of passage, I guess you could say.
It's interesting. I mean, when I've seen it performed, you learn so much about the player just because of the actual physicality of what that player puts into the violin at that moment.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The Brooke requires a great deal of physical, mental, spiritual control and stamina, of course. So it's a great piece to sort of work on refining your chops a little bit.
How was it being with our incredible Quebec superstar, Yannick Nézet-Séguin?
Oh, he's amazing.
Yeah.
He's amazing. There's very, very good reason why he's enjoyed the success that he has so far. One of the things that I find remarkable about working with different conductors is really how different I end up playing and sort of approaching the music and the violin as a result of that conductor's sort of approach and their energy, first and foremost. And Yannick is a big ball of energy. I mean, that's the best way that I can put it.
Yeah.
He really demands in the most, you know, warm and encouraging way that everyone on stage is there living in the same moment at the same time and expressing the same thing. And that's something that you don't always find in conductors. I mean, there's certainly a side of conducting that involves logistics. You know, it involves making sure that everyone's playing at the same time in the right place. But I think more importantly, it's that sense that the conductor is really able to translate through his body what it is that he's feeling is coming out of the music. And I think working with him was so incredible because it felt to me as if we had the same sort of perception about what it was that we were trying to create. And that goes for the Brook as well as both of the Price Concerti. It was an amazing experience.
Yeah, I think he's good of that. And he is part of a new school of thinking when it comes to performance and so on. And we want to talk a little bit about the repertoire at Koerner Hall. I mean, with the composers you've chosen, I mean, tell us the story you're trying to tell on stage.
Yeah, absolutely. We start with a very, very early, really, it's a piano sonata with violin obbligato of Chevalier de Saint-Georges. That's very traditional of the classical style. I wanted to draw some attention to the fact that Chevalier, from the age of probably 6 or 7, was really a Parisian. That goes for music as well as sportsmanship and fencing and horseback riding. And eventually he became a general in the Revolutionary Army there in France. And so I wanted to sort of spin off whatever his experience might have been in France and sort of continue looking at how, you know, music that came out of that place sort of evolved. So that's why we have so much French music on the program. And we come back to Schubert at the end, which ties way back to Chevalier in the sense that Schubert was one of those composers, similarly to Beethoven, who sort of transitioned music itself from the classical era sort of into the Romantic era. So I thought it would be really cool to see all the way from Chevalier in the beginnings of the classical era, finishing with Schubert, bookending the program with this evolution of the classical style, sandwiched with some really, really dynamic and colorful French music right in the middle.
I love all that French repertoire, but I am a Schubertian at the end of the day. I just, I love that, all that repertoire.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's always full of surprises, especially in his later works.
Yeah.
With this Rondo Brilliant is certainly an example of.
Once again, Wednesday, April 23rd, 8 p.m. start time, Koerner Hall. Beautiful space for you, Randall. You're going to love it there. rcmusic.com. And Randall Gooseby, it's just been a real pleasure. Thank you for being with us.
Likewise. Thanks so much, Mark. Looking forward to coming to Toronto.
More from violinist Randall Gooseby right now as we prepare for his arrival to Toronto. My name is Mark Wigmore on the New Classical FM, our look at arts and culture.